Class will be from Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized. And today's verse is text number 46. And tonight's theme, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. Let us chant now text number 46. Yavan artha udapane sarvatak sampluto dike tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha Yavan artha udapane saravatak samplutodake tavan saradeshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha Yavan artha udapane saravatak samplutodake tavan saraveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. Let's do the Sanskrit word by word. Yavan, all that, arata, is meant, udapane, in a well of water, saravata, in all respects, sambhuta udake, in a great reservoir of water, Tavan, similarly, Saradeshu, in all, Vedeshu, Vedic literatures, Brahmanasya, of the man who knows the Supreme Brahman, Vijanata, who is in complete knowledge. Translation, if you could kindly respond. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So before we go to Srila Prabhupada's purport, this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is one of the two chapters which are considered to be summary studies. Chapter 2 and chapter 18 are considered summary chapters of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Now we will study Srila Prabhupada's purport, so please try to follow along nicely. I would like to offer my prayers to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who kindly gave us this Bhagavad Gita so that we may understand the deep meaning of this Bhagavad Gita easily. The rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakanda division of the Vedic literatures are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in verse number 15. sarvasya chahang hridi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So, self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with Him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in verse number 7. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manah shastan indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 33, Verse 7, as follows. Aho vatasvapachoto gariyan yaj jivagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuhu sasnur arya brahmanuchur nama grinantiyete. O my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family, like that of a chandala, dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals, and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his or her bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family. So, one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals. Nor is it possible to study all of the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge, and resources to execute the purpose of the Vedas. This is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakashananda Saraswati, why he, the Lord, was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist, instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool, and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna, and the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. Trinadapi sunichena turariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 evakivalam kalo nasyeva 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 gatir anyata. So in Prabhupada's purport, he mentioned this verse found in the third canto. I will give you some background information on this very famous verse, which also appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse was spoken by Devahuti, the mother of God. Her son was God in the form of Kapildev. This Kapildev instructed his mother in the science of God, and the whole set of teachings comprises the largest section of the third canto, beginning with chapter number 25, extending to chapter number 32. So that would be some 8 chapters comprising the questions and answers of Devahuti to her son Kapila. And after hearing from Kapila, his mother Devahuti spoke some very significant verses, this one in particular, one of the most famous. So I'd like to go over that verse as Srila Prabhupada has written it and as he has commented on it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you're willing to proceed, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And I'm going to dedicate this class to a friend I have not seen in many years, Bharat. Nice to see you. May Krishna bless you. So now let us look at this verse very carefully. Aho bhatasva pachoto gariyan yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sasnur arya brahmano chur namagrinandiyete. Please repeat. Aho bhata. Oh, how glorious. Shvapacha. A dog eater. So it appears millions of years ago there were a class of people who ate dogs. It's not just in this Kali Yuga. Next, ataha. Hence, gariyan. Worshipable. Yat. Of whom. Jiva agre. On the tip of the tongue. Vartate. Is. Nama, the holy name, Tubhyam, unto you, Te Puttapa, practiced austerities, Te, they, Juhuvu, executed fire sacrifices, Susnu, took bath in the sacred rivers, Arya, Aryans, Brahma Anuchu, studied the Vedas, Nama, the holy name, Grinanti, accept, Ye, they who, Te, your. So now I would ask you to repeat the translation. Please repeat. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at all holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So before we go into Prabhupada's purport on this verse, I would like to see how I am inspired to comment just a little bit. Therefore, I will take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Devahuti is addressing her son, who is God, and she says that persons who are chanting God's name, they're glorious. And she is pointing out it doesn't matter how low materially estimated one is. By her verse here, she is saying your material qualification or disqualification doesn't matter if you are chanting the holy name. That's the key. We see in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a summary of the four varnas. In one verse, he describes the qualities of a Brahman. In one verse, he describes the qualities of a Kshatriya. And in one verse, he describes the qualities of the Vaishyas and Sudras. Right after that, Krishna says, but now I will tell you how each of these can achieve perfection. That includes the Sudras. And what does Krishna say? All of these people can achieve perfection by worship of the Supreme Lord. And in this age, the age of Kali, the recommended process of worshiping the Lord is called Sankirtan. Congregational glorification or complete glorification of the name of God. And Lord Chaitanya has given us the Maha Mantra, the best mantra, the greatest mantra of them all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The great chanting for deliverance. So Devahuti says, anyone who's chanting the name of God, they're glorious, they're worshipable. This is a very strong statement by the Mother of God. They're glorious and they're worshipable. Now, since you all chanted the holy name of God, therefore I offer you my respects. Vanchikalpa turubhyascha kripasindubhyayebhacha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. And Devahuti is saying, if somebody has the holy name on the tip of their tongue, that means they must have done everything else which is considered preliminary. And she lists them. They must have done austerities. They must have performed fire sacrifice. They must have achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. Because they're chanting the holy name. They must have bathed at the holy places. They must have studied the Vedas. They must have done everything required according to Devahuti. Now she's the Mother of God. Anybody going to doubt Devahuti? Anybody going to argue with the Mother of God? Not me. If she says people who chant are glorious and worshipable, take it to the bank. Because you don't get to be the Mother of God unless you're highly qualified. Not everybody can be the Mother of God. So if Devahuti is saying this, as we say in America, you can take it to the bank. Besides, Vyasadeva has included it in his Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the topmost Vedic authority. Nothing higher as far as authoritative scripture than Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if you will allow me, I would like to read to you Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse as he has composed it in the third canto. And if time permits, I will also read the purport to the same verse that he wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And my experience is that Srila Prabhupada writes in one tone in Bhagavatam, and when he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a different tone. So we may glean more from this. If you're ready to proceed, say, Hari Bol. Thank you. As stated in the previous verse, a person who has once offensively chanted the holy name of God becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. One should not be astonished by this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not disbelieve or think, how by chanting the holy name of the Lord can one become a holy man compared to the most elevated Brahmana? To eradicate such doubts in the minds of non-believers, this verse affirms that the stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not sudden, but that chanters have already performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. It is not very astounding, for no one in this life can chant the holy name of the Lord unless he or she has passed all lower stages, such as performing the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, studying the Vedas, and practicing good behavior like that of the Aryans. All of this must have been first done. Just as a student in a law class is to be understood to have already graduated from general education, anyone who is engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Let's do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, must have already passed all lower stages. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of the tongue are glorious. One does not even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, offenseless stage, and pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. It is said herein that Nama, a singular number, one name, Krishna or Rama, is sufficient. Everyone say Krishna. Everyone say Rama. It is not that one has to chant all the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord are innumerable, and one does not have to chant all the names to prove that he or she has already undergone all the processes of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. If one chants once only, it is to be understood that he or she has passed all the examinations, not to speak of those who are chanting always 24 hours a day. It is specifically said here, Tubhyam, unto you only. One must chant God's name, not, as the Mayavadi philosophers say, any name, such as demigod's name or the names of God's energies. Only the holy name of the Supreme Lord will be effective. Anyone who compares the holy name of the Supreme Lord to the names of the demigods is called Pashandi, an offender. The holy name has to be chanted to please the Supreme Lord and not for any sense gratification or professional purpose. If this pure mentality is there, then even though a person is born of a low family, such as a dog eater's, he or she is so glorious that not only has he or she purified oneself, but one is quite competent to deliver others. He or she is competent to speak on the importance of the transcendental name, just as Thakur Haridas did. He was apparently born in a family of Mohammedans, but because he was chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord offenselessly, Lord Chaitanya empowered him to become the authority or acharya of spreading the name. It did not matter that he was born in a family which was not following the Vedic rules and regulations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Prabhu accepted him as an authority because he was offenselessly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Authorities like Advaita Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya immediately accepted that he had already performed all kinds of austerities, studied the Vedas, and performed all sacrifices. This is automatically understood. There is a hereditary class of Brahmins called the Smarta Brahmins, however, who are of the opinion that even if such persons who are chanting the holy name of the Lord are accepted as purified, they still have to perform the Vedic rites or await their next birth in a family of brahmanas so that they can perform the Vedic rituals. But actually, this is not the case. Such a man does not need to wait for the next birth to become purified. He is at once purified. It is understood that he has already performed all sorts of rites. It is the so-called Brahmins who actually have to undergo different kinds of austerities before reaching that point of purification. There are many other Vedic performances which are not described here. All such Vedic rituals have been already performed by the chanters of the holy name. The word Juhuvu means that the chanters of the holy name have already performed all kinds of sacrifices. Susnu means that they have already traveled to all the holy places of pilgrimage and have taken part in purificatory activities at those places. They are called Arya because they have already finished all these requirements. And therefore, they must be among the Aryans, or those who have qualified themselves to become Aryans. Aryan refers to those who are civilized, whose manners are regulated according to the Vedic rituals. Any devotee who is chanting the holy name of the Lord is the best kind of Aryan. Unless one studies the Vedas, one cannot become an Aryan. But it is automatically understood that the chanters have already studied all the Vedic literature. The specific word used here is anuchu, which means that because they have already completed all those recommended acts, they have become qualified to be spiritual masters. The very word grinanti, which is used in this verse, means to be already established in the perfectional stage of ritualistic performances. If one is seated on the bench of a high court and is giving judgment on cases, it means that he or she has already passed all legal exams and is better than those who are engaged in the study of law or those expecting to study law in the future. In a similar way, persons who are chanting the holy name are transcendental to those who are factually performing the Vedic rituals and those who expect to be qualified, or in other words, those who are born in the families of Brahmins but have not yet undergone the reformatory processes and who therefore expect to study the Vedic rituals and perform the sacrifices in the future. There are many Vedic statements in different places saying that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord becomes immediately freed from conditional life, and that anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord, even though born of a family of dog eaters, also becomes liberated from the clutches of material entanglement. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before we go further, I'd like to chant the holy name, and if you would also join me in chanting the holy name, that would be very good. J Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gobi Janna Vallabha Giribharat Hari. Gobi Janna Vallabha Giribharat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giribharat Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giribharat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Lila chapter 11, this verse again appears within the text, and it is quoted by Lord Chaitanya, and I'd like to read the purport that Prabhupada wrote in that instance. The word Aryan means advanced. Unless one is spiritually advanced, one cannot be called an Aryan. And thus, this is the difference between Aryan and non-Aryan. Non-Aryans are those who are not spiritually advanced. By following the Vedic culture, by performing great sacrifices, and by becoming a strict follower of the Vedic instructions, one may become a Brahman, a sannyasi, or an Aryan. It is not possible to become a Brahman, sannyasi, or Aryan without being properly qualified. Bhagavad Dharma never allows one to become a cheap Brahman, sannyasi, or Aryan. The qualities or qualifications described herein are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam and were spoken by Devahuti, the mother of Kapiladev, when she understood the influence of devotional service, bhakti yoga. In this way, Devahuti praised the devotee, pointing out his greatness in all respects. Let us do another kirtan, and I believe that's the final purport that I can find that Srila Prabhupada commented on. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya So it was mentioned in today's readings that one must chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. So it behooves us to know what those 10 offenses are. This is from a purport in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Ajiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver him or herself from the effects of all sins by surrendering unto the Lord. One can deliver him or herself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect him or herself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to the first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord Himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from Him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is His holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think that the Lord is an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think His holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from all the effects of sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. But one who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify him or herself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name of the Lord and the Lord are one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. And we learn from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the way to become free from offenses is to chant the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Bhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gopal, get the microphone.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'm done.
Do you
have
power? Do you still have power?
No. Go, take it. Take it.
Jai Vishnu Pad.